Today's episode of State Your Line is brought to you by Lead Bank. Lead Bank is a community-minded, independent, commercial bank recognized for its innovative approach to community banking and unique banking solutions that allow real people, real businesses, and their communities to thrive. Serving communities with treasury management and lending services, consumer client products, digital consumer banking, and innovative financial technology services, Lead Bank is the first choice for those looking for a future banking partner. Headquartered right here in Kansas City, Missouri, Lead Bank is known for being a small business advocate, having outstanding client service, and creating financial pathways to those who in the past have been unbankable. For more information, call 816-220-8600 or visit www.lead.bank today.
Are you recording?
Yep.
Already.
Welcome into State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans. We are the Ritz Brothers. Today is July 21st. Coming to you from the Plex Pod Studios.
New soundboard.
With the new soundboard. We got the new technology.
How do we sound?
We're going to sound really great.
Okay.
There was just a loud humming. Mm-hmm. I haven't told you this yet, but we were doing some karaoke with the soundboard, and I wonder if something happened with the karaoke.
You think?
I don't know.
I think if you're doing karaoke, one, it's guaranteed that you're drunk.
Yeah.
Anytime you do karaoke,
true.
You are drunk. So that probably had an effect.
Mm-hmm.
You probably weren't operating the soundboard correctly.
It could have happened. I don't know.
I don't know if we should use our new sponsor
to reinvest.
I think you should have to pay for it.
I went to shout out to Big Dudes Music on 38th and Broadway. Got some great advice. Hooked up with the new soundboard there, but he said it's just probably the technology. Just sometimes over the course of a year, it just the electronics
screaming totally into electrical. It. Yeah, while setting it up while drunk.
It was totally electrical.
I like that the new soundboard has two buttons.
Yes, it's idiot, the old way more idiot-proof.
The old soundboard had literally probably 64
mm-hmm.
buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So I think limiting the amount of mistakes that can be made is always a smart
move. Yeah, it had that one button that would just shut off all the sound that I didn't know about. Remember that?
What interview was that?
That was for what's the place downtown? The Clubhouse Experience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this one, it's idiot-proof. We got a new soundboard. We want to start out with talking Chris Jones. He got a new contract.
God, transitions
Dude,
on
let's
point.
Let's go.
Yeah, Chris Jones secured the bag. As with every story with the Chiefs, it all goes back to Patrick Mahomes, our Lord and Savior, who made it happen. Chris Jones was giving a press conference yesterday on Monday about how the whole contract negotiations went. And he said after Pat signed his, he got a text from Pat saying, "I left some money on the table," which is
the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard.
But it's not untrue.
Exactly. It's like an oxymoron almost of sorts. Like, hey, I just signed the biggest contract in American sports history. By doing that, I left some money on the table for
half
you, Chris.
Bill. I left some money on the table for you, Chris.
But it makes sense.
But
it's
did.
Weird.
And Mahomes, again, was thinking about the way his contract is structured. Like mm-hmm. the big money for Mahomes hits literally after this Chris Jones money mm-hmm. hits. And so it really is structured that way. And my heart loves this move.
Mm-hmm.
I bought the Chris Jones jersey last year.
Risky.
I'm a huge Chris Jones guy. Mm-hmm. I really do believe Chris Jones is one of the three best defensive linemen in the NFL.
Yep.
But my brain also knows that our cornerbacks, I'm really nervous about. And all the data and math says coverage is more important than pressure.
Yes.
covering wide receivers results in better leads to better results than pressuring the quarterback.
If you don't believe that, just know the 2018 Chiefs led the NFL in sacks.
Mm-hmm. And we had the worst defense in the NFL. That was our crux was our defense, and we led the NFL in sacks, and we had Justin Houston and Dee Ford on that team.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, coverage is more important than pressure. But my heart loves this.
I love it.
I love Chris Jones. And him and Frank Clark are going to just wreck the AFC West for the next couple of years. And so I go back and forth. We definitely need to figure out what we're going to do at cornerback.
Yeah, Brett Veach is going to have to draft really well.
Mm-hmm, which is a hard position to draft at.
Very hard.
But I'm not going to let that affect me right now. Right now, I'm just going to be excited about the contract.
Right now, I think all we need to do is just look at Chris Jones's quote, I think after the Super Bowl, where he just said, we're going to build a fucking dynasty in Kansas City. And I really want to just put that on a t-shirt or something.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, that's what everyone was working towards. I mean, Mahomes even thinking about that as he's getting paid up a cool half a bill. And I'll take, what do you take, like 30-some up front, I think?
In a who, Chris post? Jones? No, 37?
Mahomes did, I think. I can't remember. Or maybe 60. It was like 60.
It was 60.
It was 60.
Signing bonus.
But still thinking about building a dynasty, and that's what everybody on this team is talking about.
Yeah, and again, we talked about this on the Mahomes contract, but the salary cap, someone's just going to have to sit down and explain it to me, because we had $177.
Mm-hmm.
177.00.
Yep.
When this offseason started, and somehow, you know, we did everything that we've done. So I know that we have a guy in the front office that all he does is crunch numbers and salary cap guy. I can't remember his name right now, but he was getting some shout outs. I saw when the Chris Jones news broke, NFL Network and ESPN and everyone was giving this guy a lot of credit who works on Brett Veach's team. But the way we've navigated the salary cap so far has been incredible. And Brett Veach is getting a ton of praise and a ton of credit, and he deserves it all. So, I guess let's just win another Super Bowl.
Yeah, and then
and we're going to be like one of these two dynasty, like this first dynasty is this core.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're going to win, you know, three Super Bowls in the next 4 years.
Yeah, okay.
And then we'll get some more young guys. Like we'll lose Chris Jones. We'll lose Frank Clark, we'll lose Matthew, we'll lose, you know, we'll see what happens on the offensive side. If, you know, we'll have to extend Tyreek again pretty soon, and we'll have to extend Kelsey again in a little bit if we want them to be there. But we'll have another dynasty with new players. But right now, this dynasty is this core, and I love it.
Yeah, and I have seen other NFL fan bases mad online because Clark Hunt is like the owner in charge of the NFL like salary cap financials committee. And so they're trying to connect dots there. I'm glad that Clark's
do
in
what
that
you're
position.
Doing, Clark.
But also Chiefs, it's Tuesday now, but I think Monday the 20th, rookies got their first corona test. And I think they have to pass two before then they can get into the facility and work out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the same process on the 28th when veterans can start reporting.
Who are we getting the hype train? Who are we shoveling coal for?
Oh, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Patrick Queen.
Yes, exactly.
Not Patrick Queen.
Willie Gay Jr. I've watched multiple videos of them working out this offseason.
Sweet.
And very excited for both of those rookies.
And baseball starts this week.
Sports. Please. Yes, I know. Baseball starts this week. We have Houston in town, which we're taping this before the game even starts, but I can't believe that we hit them nine consecutive times to start out the game.
Wow, that was wild.
Wow. Can you believe that
reaction
happened?
Would be...
Yeah,
but
nine straight bean balls to start the game out.
Wow.
but yeah, I mean, it's all
sports,
happening.
Sports, please. We need sports so badly.
Yes.
And I know that sounds dramatic, but we really do. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, we do. We need sports.
I know. I always say, like, I'm done hearing sports talk radio. I'm done hearing their medical opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just want to hear their opinions.
I
want to
hear
sports.
Your bad sports takes so I
that's
can scream
what I
at
want.
The radio about that.
So I think, does the opening day actually is it next week or is it on Friday?
I thought it was on Friday of this
week. Okay, Friday against Cleveland. So,
wait, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I know.
Is it during the day?
What time? 6 o'clock. Not a lot of day games. Not a lot of weekday day games. Lots of stuff to get excited about. So we're going to have baseball to talk about as we come onto the podcast next week, which that's just absolutely insanely wild to me. But it's good to have them back. It'll be exciting to see them back in action. Yeah, start in Cleveland, then to Detroit, and then the White Sox come to town. So
let's do it.
60 games. It's a sprint. And I'll talk myself into the Royals getting hot.
Sure.
Get hot for
it's like
get hot for 20 games,
yeah.
And it for the first 20 games in seasons change.
Yeah, imagine it's post the All-Star
like
break.
Literally go
12-8. Yeah,
to start the season.
Imagine
it's on.
Imagine the All-Star game happened. Imagine we're post All-Star break.
We should
break,
have had over 100 games by
and
now.
We're tied for first.
Yeah, I know.
It's post All-Star break and we're tied for first place in the AL.
Yeah, here we
spot
go.
Spot the lie.
There's no lie there.
I'm not lying.
It's no lie. We should have had already 100 games by now, I think. So it's going to be a sprint, and who knows? I'll talk myself into it. We had Alec Lewis on a few weeks ago, so if you're looking for kind of a more in-depth preview, Alec is smarter than us, so we let him tell us all about what the Royals were looking for. So, all right, let's jump into some openings and closings this week. Some openings this week. We got a couple to talk about. First being Observation Pizza. Kansas City, I always say we could use better pizza here. What do you think? Observation Pizza?
I think it looks good. So basically, this is a really cool story. The guy who started Observation Pizza, this is how long the lockdown has been.
Mm-hmm.
He got fired. He's a chef, you know, or works in the restaurant industry. He got let go because of COVID. The place he was working got closed down. So he decided to just like kind of start making pizzas out of his house. He lives on the west side up the hill, right next to Observation Park, which is like this little kind of, they've got a couple soft, it's right by like the Cesena's old place.
Yeah.
Right at the top of the hill of like Jarbo and
17th or 20th.
Yeah, 20th
and Jarbo.
And so he started making pizzas in his house. The word kind of spread. It got kind of out of control, and like he was making 8 pizzas a day and then was making 36 pizzas a day out of his house. And you had to like basically know the secret password, and it was basically
like
a pizza speakeasy. Yeah, they called it a pizza speakeasy. Well, it got enough popularity that he decided to open up a place. So he's in he has a kitchen in like an event space called The Bower in the Crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses their kitchen. And he's making pizzas. It's still by like not appointment, but you basically have to order it online ahead of time in order to get the pizza because it's just two people and they're just kind of making pizzas. But it started as a pizza speakeasy, and now they're in a real place. And all of that has happened. You know, he basically started his got fired or got let go, started his own business, and now had to legitimize it. All during the lockdown.
Gosh, it's been a while. That's crazy. But that's awesome. That a pizza speakeasy. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. It's kind of like Neapolitan and New York pizza combined.
Yeah. When I lived in Oxford, Mississippi, they had a grilled cheese speakeasy. Oof. Yeah. So you had to like kind of know the password to get in, get a drink, and then they had gourmet grilled cheeses. And it opened up after, no, there was no drinking because it opened up after the bars closed at like midnight there in Mississippi. So. But gourmet grilled cheese is very delicious. All right, next opening, we've got the Atomic Cowboy / Denver Biscuit Company / Fat, what's it, Fat?
It's like a shake and pizza
Fat
place.
Soli's Pizza.
There it is.
And Frozen Gold Soft Serve Ice Cream. So all of these four places are going to be in one building inside Westport, and it is going to be opening July 21st. We talked about this before, but then COVID happens, and now here we are.
Still
it's finally
like
opening.
No, I think they were. This was always kind of their schedule.
Okay,
I think when we talked about it, it was like really early on, and they hadn't even started construction on it. But
yeah.
I think they're kind of a long schedule. But yeah, it looks like you know it's going to be a really fun place to just basically drink all day. You can do a boozy brunch.
and do it pizza stays open and then, late. Yeah.
It's all kinds of different things. So I'm excited for this. Are there pictures online?
Yeah, yet? There are. It's in the Westport, the old Westport Ice Building, and they did a good job trying to keep that old building, keep the character of it. It was built in 1907, and it's on the corner of 42nd and Pennsylvania.
Okay, yeah. Like across from Savah, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm excited to see what this 4-in-1 concept will look like. And I love pizza. I love biscuits, ice cream, dancing, all of the above. Next opening, we've got Queen Priscilla's.
Yeah, this is a little taco place that, again, has kind of opened during the pandemic. It's like a Mexican brunch and lunch spot.
Are there going to be breakfast tacos?
There's going to be Mexican breakfast tacos.
I love breakfast tacos.
I know. And
fuck yes, I love
it. And this place, it's going to be on 39th Street. It's basically like behind Missy B's, like kind of across the street from Ortego and Q39.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looks like kind of just a little taco place that has
breakfast enchiladas.
Yeah, breakfast enchiladas.
A quesarito.
Mm-hmm. So I think this is open now. Actually, I know it's open now. But yeah, Kansas City needed like a breakfast taco place.
Yes.
I had breakfast tacos in Austin. It was like the greatest thing ever. So yeah. I'm looking forward to trying this place.
Biscuits and gravy with chorizo sausage. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is going to have to be a nice brunch spot to hit up. Queen Priscilla's. Sweet. I'm pumped about that. And closing, we have this week. Well, closing is just not happening. That's the Plaza Fart Fair. Plaza Art Fair will not be having their 89th annual art fair this year, which it's a bummer. As much as I will complain about like going to the art fair, I go every year.
Yeah.
Because you like complain about the parking and it being crowded and expensive and hot and all that.
Yeah.
It's always really fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how else am I supposed to?
It's the no one likes going to that. It's way too crowded.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Place.
But yeah. I'll go every year.
Exactly.
But yeah, I need an outlet for like feeling pretentious and like, I guess, appreciating art, mm-hmm. but really just an excuse to go down and kind of party and get drunk and have a good time.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, how can you miss? Missing the opportunity to say Plaza Fart Fair.
Yeah, I love that's saying just Plaza funny. Fart Fair.
That's just funny every single time.
I know.
So we won't have that opportunity this year.
And and you get to walk around with your beer outside of restaurants and all of that.
Along
all day.
The river, yeah. Or Brush Creek, I mm-hmm. guess. But yeah, going to miss the Plaza Fart Fair.
Yeah, going to miss the Fart Fair this year. The Brookside Fart Fair also rescheduled. And
what about the West
August?
Fart Fair?
And that Fart Fair has now been canceled. It's supposed to be in March, and then it was rescheduled for August. That's also canceled. I don't know about the Westport Fart Fair. Is that usually in the fall?
I don't remember. So.
Yeah, haven't heard about that yet. But that's what's not going to happen this year. Too bad. All right. Next up, a little what we try this week.
Mm-hmm. Let me start.
Go ahead.
I'm very excited about
this.
All
right, fine. Go ahead.
Werner's. Maybe it's pronounced Werner's. You know, I don't know about how Germans do mm-hmm. their W's.
It's usually a V.
Yeah, Werner's Fine Sausage.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Mission on Johnson Drive.
You're talking about a sausage store on Johnson Drive?
That's just too good.
That's just too good. They knew what they were doing.
Spelled Werner's Fine Sausage. So that's what they are. They like make sausages and they're a little kind of grocery, mm-hmm. but they have a deli in there open for lunch, maybe for dinner. But I got lunch there. I got their Italian sandwich. It was one of the best sandwiches I've ever had.
Like I love a good Italian
sandwich. Like cold cut sandwiches. It was one of the best cold cut sandwich I've ever had.
And serve cold?
The Italian, they toast it a little bit.
Okay, I like my Italian a little toasted.
It's not toasted. It's just kind of warmed up, get a little bit of toasted. But it's not like a Pickleman's or a Potbelly's or something. Yeah. I don't know what makes a great sandwich, but I was just eating it and I was enjoying the shit out of it. And the bread was so good. And the mayonnaise was so good, and it was awesome. I loved it. And it's pretty cheap. Like the sandwich, which I got a sandwich and a bag of chips, it was like $7.50.
Pretty good lunch deal.
And And I think, you know, they're not doing it right now because of, I think it'd be hard to sanitize and whatnot. But normally I think they have like a grill going outside, kind of like McGonagall's, RIP, and like serve sausages and hot dogs and brats and stuff like that. But yeah, I had the sandwich. I don't know what makes a good sandwich because, you know, but it just was so good. Yeah. Number one, I didn't make it. So that's a good sandwich. Number two, I was eating it when the Chris Jones news broke. So that made it good, but it was just a really good sandwich.
Yeah. All right. So it's Werner's Fine Sausages on Johnson Drive. All right. I have not tried this and it's been around and on my list to try for a long time, but I finally got to try Il Centro.
Oh, nice.
South Plaza. So
I think it's called Il Centro Austero.
Austero.
It's like, that's like the full name.
Oh, okay. Does Lucille Austero own it or?
Is that Lucille number two?
Yeah, that's a deep cut from Arrested Development. but finally got to try it. Tried the chicken spadini there, which was off the charts, phenomenal, really good.
You have high standards too.
I have high standards because
Kathy Ritz.
Yeah, my mom, I think she makes the best spadini in the city. Mm-hmm. Delicious spadini. I wouldn't put it ahead of Garozzo's spadini either, but a really good meal. The reason I wouldn't wasn't because of the spadini, it was the side. It's served with a risotto. Mm. That is like a kind of a fake risotto, like they don't actually use risotto, more of a rice, but it's not creamy. I'm a big fan of creamy risotto, especially
you gotta have creamy.
Having the chicken there too, I would have loved to combine a creamy risotto with that chicken spadini, but it didn't have that taste. It was like risotto sapphire, I want to say.
Yep, that's a very popular dish.
And it doesn't quite have the creamy flavor that I would have wanted. But then it came with these green beans that were some of the best green beans I've ever had from a restaurant.
Did you know risotto is made not from risotto? Like, risotto isn't the name of the grain.
Oh, I thought it was.
No, it's made with Arborio rice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But so it is made from a rice. But
okay. But delicious. Got like this goat cheese appetizer that was phenomenal as well. So El Centro, finally got to have it. Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Got a awesome interview this week. This was another redo. I don't know if you guys remember, I deleted basically everything off my computer to try to make space, including the Lowe's Hotel interview.
What were we making space for too? It was probably something really stupid.
I was making space for the app I had to download to convert.
Oh, yeah,
the Zoom
meeting to an audio file.
And all of that. So anyways, good thing we had to like redo it anyways because COVID hit and they didn't open on time and all the answers they gave us were out of date by the time we wanted to run it. So got to sit down with the guys at Lowe's Hotel for this interview.
Oh, yeah.
I was pointing to you. I thought you were like,
no, I got
over
it.
There getting, hold on. You know, we got another ad in this episode.
Oh, gosh.
Big time in it. But the Lowe's Hotel is that new convention center hotel that just went up.
Yeah. Metcalf Partners Wealth Management is bringing you guys this interview today. Go see my guy, Ethan Hutchison, over there. Basically, what Ethan wants to do is help out people our age figure out their financial situation. I know there's a lot of people who just kind of, after college, they started their job and they've just kind of had a savings account and a checking account and they pay down their credit cards and they put money in their savings account and that's really it. But they don't really have much of a plan. And people our age are starting to, you know,
I feel like he's talking directly to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Have babies, buy houses, you know, really start making their money work for them, saving for retirement. And we all have to have a plan for this. And so Ethan at Metcalf Partners Wealth Management really wants to work with our generation and helping us plan. So again, that's 401k rollovers. That's buying your first house. That's planning for colleges for your kids. And he really wants to make it an educational process. So You're going to learn about why you need to set up different accounts, what accounts you need at this age. And it's really going to be an educational experience when you go see Ethan Hutchison at Medcalf Partners Wealth Management. So again, that website is medcalfpartners.com, and go see Ethan. Tell him you heard about us from, or tell him you heard about him from State Your Line.
All right. Today we are joined by Mark Ciampa and Brian Johnson of the Lowe's Hotel here in downtown Kansas City. And it's funny because we actually did this interview already on March 11th. You guys were scheduled to have your grand opening April 1st. I'm guessing everything went off smoothly without a hitch April 1st. About right?
It did. It changed a little bit.
Just a little bit.
You know, of course, we're about 50 days into it at this point. And the world changed, I think, for everybody. I know for everybody. But, you know, we're open. We're excited to be open. We're excited to welcome the community into the hotel. But we did. We had to reinvent ourselves quickly, like every business, and look at things through a different lens. And part of that was a big part of that was a challenge. But, you know, we're excited to be here and excited that our doors are open and welcoming the general public.
Was everything just, you know, in this industry when this virus happens and really everything changes, was it like, we got to kind of figure this out on the fly? Were there things where you were like, oh, we kind of know what to do here? Is it just like, okay, like a lot of people, we just got to figure out how to, you know, stay in business. And then eventually when the time comes, how to open up?
Well, you know, look, we made a decision to delay the opening from April 2nd to June 1st. And we did it for many reasons. But you know, the primary focus was the safety of our team members and the safety of the general public. And that's always been at the forefront of our mind in this industry, you know, safety and security and confidentiality and really ensuring that both our team members and customers are well cared for. But I think with everything going on today with the virus, it really, confirms the mindset that we have to look out for the safety and security of everybody involved. And that's always been at the forefront of our business, and even more so now.
Yeah. So this isn't the only hotel in the country that's a Lowe's hotel, but were you guys the only Lowe's hotel that has opened new in the last 3 months?
We are one of two. You know, our hotel in St. Louis opened up in February.
Okay.
And then we were scheduled for April. So, you know, they were just a short few months into it when they had to, you know, halt operations and see their way through some pretty turbulent times. So we had a sister property on the other side of the state.
Mm-hmm.
We're the largest of the two. But
take that, St. Louis.
everybody was in really the same boat, and we relied upon each other to collaborate and really, you know, find a strategic path forward.
Yeah, and I think Kansas Cityans, we don't yet know the Lowe's brand and the Lowe's Hotel. It's new to us. And, you know, here in the Midwest, and I just bought a house, I've been spending a lot of time at the other Lowe's, in Lowes. So I feel like this is an opportunity for Kansas City to get to know the Lowe's brand. Mark, like when you think of Lowe's, what is the Lowe's Hotel? Like, how is it different? What is its brand? What does it want to offer to Kansas City?
Well, I definitely think that we're bringing a new luxury element to Kansas City that we haven't experienced. We happen to be a large convention hotel, and we've kind of have to pivot a little bit on that. But the quality of the facility, the service levels that we provide are unlike any other that you've experienced really in Kansas City. So I think just having folks come in and see just the natural beauty of the building is one thing. They know that we're brand new, that we're safe, and we've put all the protocol in place in regards to that. But from a brand perspective, I think that we're not like any other brand. I think that it's a personalized service to each individual customer. And I think that it's something you really need to come in and experience to truly understand.
Yeah. Where are you guys headquartered nationally?
Our headquarters is in New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you have, how many Lowe's hotels are there in the country?
Well, right now we have, what,
29
that are in operation.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
So you were talking about like the quality. The first thing I notice in a hotel room is shower water pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big make or break the trip for me. I was just at a hotel recently, terrible water pressure. Are there complaints that just get under your skin more than other ones? Like, you know, because I would probably, I don't know, I didn't call the front desk, but are there like, there's certain complaints where you're like, oh, it's this again. And, you know, do you have a least favorite complaint that you get?
Well, we're still getting to know the building here, but of course we want to provide a comfortable, quiet, you know, safe and secure stay. But really, for me, it's similar to you. It's water pressure. Everybody loves a fantastic shower, and everybody loves a fantastic bed, right?
Yeah,
and they have to have quiet. So those three, you know, I think people traveling based upon where you're at, whether it be a resort or a downtown hotel or an urban environment. You know, some of those attributes change a little bit, you know, the kind of the nuances, but you got to have a great shower, got to have a great bed, and it's got to be quiet.
I think the other thing is, the first thing I notice is the hotel bar. It's always like, if the hotel I'm staying at, if it has a cool bar, then it automatically like makes me feel more comfortable or makes me more excited about the stay. You guys have an incredible bar downstairs. Tell me a little bit about like the bar concept and kind of what you're going for and whether that's just, if that's open for the general public now.
Yeah, absolutely. The lobby bar, Bar Stillwell, is opened with the hotel on June 1st.
Okay.
It's got floor-to-ceiling windows so that you can see downtown skyline of Kansas City. We think it's the best view that there is. Also has an outdoor seating area, so we'll have fire pits. Really think it's a, kind of a three-season terrace that goes off of Bar Stillwell. But there's specialty drinks that have been created, such as New Midwest Cocktail. Most certainly features all of our flavor partners with Rieger and Tomstown, Lipton Spirits. So it's really something that is part of the Lowe's brand, where we try to incorporate local elements into the unique property that we're in. So in Kansas City, you're going to see a lot of elements of Kansas City incorporated in the building, including the bar. And then we have a second location that we just opened up last Thursday that was off the event lawn, known as the Horse Feather Social.
Nice.
So that's going to be another very popular area, open seasonally, of course, based upon the weather.
It's an outdoor bar?
It is an outdoor bar area, and it's really the Horse Feather is like a Moscow Mule type of cocktail that was invented outside of Lawrence, Kansas.
So,
again,
good for us.
It's a good namesake there and a tasty concoction.
And they are both open to the public.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the Horse Feather bar, that's so your main lobby bar is in the lobby, obviously, is still well, but your Horse Feather bar, it's elevated, right? Like on the sixth floor or something like that?
Yeah, actually the seventh floor. You were close.
Close enough. We'll count that.
And it's got amazing views of the Kauffman Performing Arts Center as well as kind of the spires of Bartle Hall.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the terrace lawn. Is that what you called it? Terrace lawn? Outdoor lawn?
Yeah, the event lawn.
Yeah, event lawn. What is your plan there? Because, again, Kevin and I have done a tour of this place, and the event lawn is incredible looking. So what are the options that people have up there?
Well, I think there's a number of things that we're going to be doing up there. A lot of groups and social events and receptions have impressed with the facility and really expressed interest in hosting private events up there, which we will do. We think we'll have gatherings once we do it responsibly in that fashion. And we'll be able to kind of expand some of the activities of Horse Feather Social out onto the event lawn when it's open as well.
I'm hoping maybe since Chiefs Arrowhead, you won't be able to tailgate out there. Maybe we can set up a tailgate on the event lawn on the eighth floor of your hotel.
As long as we're 6 feet apart.
Yeah. I mean, set up the cornhole game 6 feet apart. You can maintain distance, play little bags out there.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, look, it's all awesome about finding fun and creating some activity. And, you know, that's one of the things that's great about this hotel. It's so large that we have the ability to space people out, you know, whether it be in the meeting space or even up in, you know, in either one of these bars. We can space people out and they can have their own, you know, social distance space and feel comfortable and feel safe.
Yeah. And isn't it, I thought I read somewhere that it's the biggest, you guys now have the biggest conference room in the city of any hotel?
Largest hotel ballroom.
That's
and it's actually served us well where some of the smaller venues out there, we've done some decent sized weddings, close to 300 people that couldn't be accommodated by their venue. And so we like to think that we've helped out some brides have their dream wedding, maybe at a not their original venue, but they've been very pleased with the fact that we could accommodate them.
Yeah, I was curious about the Stillwell. I get the horse feather name coming from somewhere locally, and then you have Red Wheat. Were those done intentionally, those names, to be around, like something in touch with Kansas City? Or I don't get the Stillwell. Red Wheat grows in Kansas. I get that. What about Stillwell?
Yeah, actually, red wheat grows in both Missouri and Kansas.
Okay, all right. I'm more identified with the Kansas side. He's more the Missouri side guy, so he should have had my back there, but I was just thinking Kansas wheat.
I was just impressed that you knew that red wheat was from Kansas.
Kansas history books. Red wheat came from Russia, and it could survive the winters out here.
Winter wheat.
I think I remember that from eighth grade. I think that's right. I sounded confident in it.
You so did. I believed you.
It's very believable. But the Stillwell name.
Named after Arthur Stillwell, who was a railroad magnate. Mm-hmm. Used to bring oysters up from Beaumont, Texas, all the way on the Pullman car. And that kind of ties back into our railroad influence that Kansas City has.
So is that going to be, so I know the Stillwell bar is open right now as we're talking. The Stillwell, the restaurant side of it, what's the plan for that? When is that opening and what kind of fare are we going to be able to expect from that? Is it going to be oysters and seafood and yummy stuff like that?
That restaurant will open Tuesday, August 11th. So just a short time away.
Yeah.
And it will be a new Midwestern American fare. Be some oysters in there. There'll be a little bit of barbecue in there. There'll be some partnerships involved. We're excited. We're going to open it for dinner only out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will roll in breakfast and lunch, you know, shortly down the road. So it will be a welcomed addition to the overall experience of the hotel. And we have our chef de cuisine is on board, and he's been working on the menu. In fact, you could probably experience one or two of those items if you come and frequent the bar.
Mm-hmm.
and ask for the chef and ask if you can get a menu item off that menu. I'm sure he would be thrilled to accommodate just for a bit of a teaser and a little bit of fun.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about Chiefs tailgates, and I never want to jinx that the Chiefs aren't going to play or anything like that. But it could be without fans in the stadium, so that means people not traveling to Kansas City. Is that something that you guys are already starting to think about? Because it's not only Arrowhead that might be empty, but Sprint Center could be empty for a while. And Kauffman, you know, they're not going to have fans coming through this summer. Is that something you guys are always thinking about so far? And, you know, are you hoping that people still might be coming through the hotel or, like, just in town for the game? Or kind of what were your guys' thoughts when – You figured out that fans might not be coming?
We think about that every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Yeah. You don't need Kevin to remind you. Well,
I don't know if you've heard about this. Yeah, a lot of people come to town.
You know, we talk about it probably about 300 times a day. Mm-hmm. But look, we, you know, people need to feel comfortable traveling again. And we know that we're still not all the way there yet. And we realize that some of the fantastic venues we have in town aren't necessarily going to be up and operating you know, in the immediate future, but that doesn't change the fact that we are here to welcome that regional drive traffic in. Because look, the counter to that is that people have been at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been self-quarantining. They've been, you know, working from home, and you know, sooner or later, people need a vent. They need a way to do something different. They need a break. And if it's a regional staycation where they just come across the border from Kansas into Missouri and come downtown for a night to have maybe a nice glass of wine and stay in a room and just relax, or come in from Nebraska or Iowa, you know, people need that opportunity. And even though the venues aren't going, it still doesn't change the fact that it's an adventure. I think everybody's looking for an adventure. So, you know, we're here to welcome that traveling public. You know, the group business will be a little bit further off when companies start traveling again. But in the short term, we are seeing some regional business, and it doesn't change the fact that we have a fantastic facility, and we're going to continue to bring these parts of it online to really, you know, continue to kind of create and kind of curate that experience. So,
yeah.
But it's a long road, but it's a long road that, you know, many of us are on.
Yeah. So the building itself, do you guys feel extra pressure because it's like a new addition to the skyline? Like, additions to city skylines are always a big deal. So now that you guys are a part of the skyline, do you feel like extra pressure because of that? I would.
Mark Champ is looking at me.
Yeah.
I, you know what? We feel pressure because we want to live up to the expectation that Kansas Cityans have of this hotel. It's been a long time coming. You know, we watch we have a tremendous amount of pride here with what this building represents and who we are and what we're bringing to the city. But we also see it when people walk through the door and just look at it and how proud they are of what this place, you know, turned out to be.
Yeah.
So I think the pressure comes more from us wanting to exceed that expectation and do right by the local community, because it is a big deal. And you're right. It's a big deal being part of, you know, changing the skyline. But, you know, we're up to the challenge, and, you know, we're excited to be part of that. And it's just, you know, we're part of the team now, the Kansas City destination. You know, we always wanted to help complement what Kansas City has to offer. It's not all about us. It's about us complementing what the city has and really stepping up and being part of that team effort. So
yeah. Was the idea, so you guys are right here, you're close to the Kauffman Center. I'm sure, you know, once that gets up and running, you're going to have a lot of guests from there that are going to see a show, come in here for dinner or come here to the bar after a show, and your buildings kind of look alike. Is that with the lighter stone and then the glass, was that part of the design when you guys were creating the design of this building to kind of match Kauffman Center?
You know, it wasn't necessarily to match Kauffman Center, but there was an intent to find some continuity from Kauffman to the hotel, with the convention center flanking it on the other side. Mm-hmm. We wanted to have that continuity of the overall look and feel of this part of the city. And if you take a step back and you look at it from, you know, 35 or, you know, from the crossroads, you can really see that, how it kind of flows through into downtown.
Yeah, I think that does. I think it looks really good next to it. I have a couple weird questions about hotels that I've always wanted to know. I think I asked you this last time. What's your water bill?
Is that how we got on the subject of the Great Flush?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So really what I want to know is, I've always heard that you can flush every toilet or what was it? No, every shower can run on hot water for like 24 hours straight, and you have enough hot water for like every shower in the hotel. I've always heard that rumor about hotels. Is that true?
Well, you know, I can only speak for the hotels I've been in, including this one. But look, we do the Grand Flush. We talked about that before, where we flush all the toilets and turn on showers and faucets. And we were pleased with the results. 24 hours?
Yeah.
That may be a bit of a lofty goal.
Okay.
But, you know, as long as we can provide hot water to a full hotel with a full guest count, we're pleased. And, you know, we're very fortunate to be in a facility here where, you know, we have yet to fully fill it up, obviously, with every guest room at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But we're very fortunate to be in a building that was very well thought out, very well planned, and certainly put together exceptionally well. So,
does that happen? Do hotels get like complete full capacity?
Oh, absolutely. Mark? Absolutely.
Because how many rooms do you guys have here?
We have 800 guest rooms.
Okay.
And 47 suites.
Yeah. So once things are back to normal, you're expecting, I mean, that's a lot of people in here.
It is. It is a lot of people in here. But, you know, I think that with Kansas City, once the kind of the industry rebounds and all of kind of the demand generators that you've already talked about, like Kauffman and Sprint Center, I mean, we're only, you know, one block from the streetcar, two blocks from Power and Light, three blocks from Sprint Center, one block from Kauffman, connected to the convention center. There's just there's going to be a lot of mixing of people and groups, both group and transient folks that, that come in for the events that are coming on. And there will be a time that we get back to kind of full capacity. We have that. We have the airport. There's so many positive things that are
hopefully
happening.
The World Cup.
The World Cup in 2026, the NFL draft in 2023, maybe another
parade,
another parade.
I don't know.
What do you think?
Like whatever kind of parade there. I wouldn't want to jinx anything.
Yeah.
We talked with Kathy Nelson this year.
Yeah.
And we asked her about planning a parade, and we were very nervous that we had jinxed everything. And this was before the season even started. And so I don't know if I believe in jinxes anymore.
You're out on jinxes.
I'm out.
You should ask again about a parade,
because
we'd really like that.
That would be awesome. Are there any like quirky things about the building? I feel like I've been in buildings where it's like, this building is exactly this height to represent that, or like, you see buildings that just have like kind of some, what do you call them, Easter eggs, like little hidden tidbits about it. Is there anything like that went into construction?
That's a great question. I don't know if I know any really truly quirky facts.
Well, you have the piano key windows. We could probably talk about.
Oh yeah,
sure. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
What are those? You know,
that's so on the front of the hotel, and it goes all the way around. They kind of look like a piano key, and it was designed as part of Charlie Bird Parker's "Now's Our Time" song, and those are the piano keys that represent it. So it starts from the front of the hotel, goes around where the Performing Arts Center, and kind of ends up at 18th and Vine. So on that part of the hotel. So that's it's kind of a unique
little ode to the jazz history.
Yeah, to the music there.
Yeah, I think that counts.
Yes. Let's see. Do you have any more questions?
I'm out.
Okay. Well, so you guys are open, not at full capacity yet, but I'm guessing people can just kind of book rooms online as normal, as long as there's room, and come down here for a little staycation.
Absolutely. www.loweshotels.com.
The and the bar truly is incredible. And I feel like what you were talking about as far as the city feeling proud, I think that's definitely true, because when you walk in the front doors or you park in the garage and you walk in into the lobby from the elevators, the lobby and the bar, it's truly stunning. And I feel proud as a Kansas Cityan to have a hotel like this and a bar that looks the way it does. So I think coming down here for a drink, sitting outside on the terrace on a nice night, it's kind of a no-brainer, especially now that people are trying to, you know, get out of their homes and do something a little different. Coming to see something new, I think the curiosity, like we were talking about, I think it's there. So that's what I want to get a drink at the bar.
All right, sweet. Mark, Brian, thank you guys again for your time. We appreciate it. All right, thanks again to Mark and Brian for joining us. Man, what an impressive hotel that is.
I know. And
gorgeous when you walk in.
I found myself at the end, I was just like heaping praise onto them.
But I was trying to stay, you know, my integrity as a journalist.
Yeah.
I was trying to keep it there, but I really just wanted to say,
you have a lot of integrity
I know.
As a journalist.
I really just wanted to say, like, what an amazing impression, a first impression of Kansas City to people.
Yeah.
Because eventually, once, you know, conventions start going and all of that, like, people are going to visit Kansas City who otherwise won't. You know what I mean? Like, so a lot of those people are going to just like, oh, it's a business trip to Kansas City. I would never plan a vacation there. But then I'm hoping this hotel and the impression they get and how much they focus around Kansas City, all the art, all the booze, all the food that is Kansas City centric that they feature there. It's like, you're going to make someone want to come back to Kansas City.
For sure. Yeah. It's super impressive. And I mean, the bar, it has these two golden like light fixtures, but it's also a liquor shelf and they're huge. And around each layer of the golden light fixture, it's like layers with shelves on them. Each layer is a different Kansas City spirit. Mm-hmm. And there's probably like 50 bottles of Union Horse Distillery, of Tomstown, of
Lifted
Rieger,
Spirits.
Of Lifted Spirits, mm-hmm. All around these, like the main feature of the bar, yep. These gold light fixtures. So it's incredible. And yeah, it's
and then the views on the terrace on the kind of by the main bar are incredible with the fire pits that they have. And then that, you know, I'll call it a rooftop space up on mm-hmm. the seventh yeah. floor that we got to go see. Is going to be incredible too. Once that all gets to open mm-hmm. up, it'll yeah. probably be a very premier event space, and hopefully they just have it as a bar, I think too.
Yeah,
for the public as well. So really cool space to go check out if you're looking to try something new, and have a fancy place to go get a drink.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go ahead and let's jump into a little what's good in the neighborhood. There's a story we saw about a dog who
pupper
a good old pupper, a 4-year-old dog who moved from kind of rural Missouri to Olathe,
mm-hmm.
And moved there about I can't remember how long. It had been a couple years.
4 months, I thought.
4 months, and had been living in Olathe, and like a lot of people who spend time in Olathe, this dog wanted to get the hell out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Decided to journey back home all the way. What city?
Lawson,
Missouri, about 30 miles north of Kansas City in Missouri.
Yeah.
And in total, the dog had to travel 50 miles to make their way all the way back home
yeah.
and cross a river.
Yeah. Yeah. So this dog shows up on these people's porch. And the people, the owners of the house in Lawson, Missouri, had no clue
yeah.
like who the dog was, but it just like wouldn't leave the house. But the dog also like was not very friendly. It was hard to get the dog to cooperate, to go like look at its tags and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So finally they do. And the dog, you know, belonged to the previous owners of the house. So the dog was in Olathe, like you said, mm-hmm. had to get the hell out of Olathe, head back home. Yeah. Traveled 50 miles, crossed a bridge. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, I know. Well, it said the owner or the new owners of the home had lived there for 2 years.
Okay.
So, but somehow,
how
Cleo disappeared.
Cleo or Chloe?
Cleo.
Cleo.
Disappeared, made it 50 miles, and it just took a couple days to get there. But that is incredible.
Another win for Missouri. I love, too, that it, like, had to, you know, it wasn't, like, yeah. two Kansas towns or two Missouri towns. It made the trip across state lines, and so it makes the story a little more better because it's like, yeah, I need to get out of Olathe. Very relatable, Cleo. Very relatable.
Yeah. All right, so that is our What's Good in the Neighborhood in Lawson, Missouri and Olathe this week. Next, let's wrap it up with a little mixed plate.
Mm-hmm.
Talk Chris Jones signing. We have talked Patrick Mahomes signing, two contracts that with our hearts we love,
mm-hmm.
We really are excited for. But we wanted to talk about worst Kansas City signings. So worst
it's always
Kansas
fun
City
to
signings.
Do like to look at the worst things.
Yes,
like it's just
is.
A little more fun. You can get a little more riled up.
Yeah, I definitely can. So we're gonna look at the worst signings in Kansas City. And it's an even episode 64. So it looks like I get to lead things off here. Oh, this is going to be a tough one because my list is it's long. it's a long list, and I think I'm going to start with. I guess I'll go one by one here. I'm going to go with Juan Gonzalez.
Dang it.
Juan Gon.
Number one, too.
Because Juan Gonzalez, I mean, he had won an MVP.
Uh-huh.
He had been hurt, and then we signed him to a deal coming off of 2003, missing the playoffs by just a few games. I was like, this is it. We got Juan Gonzalez now. We're a lock to make the playoffs. I can't wait for this season. And I think we ended up losing 100 games in 2004, and he got hurt early. And
he played 33 games.
Didn't do anything.
Hit 5 home runs, 33 games, and it was like a big signing for us. Like we
yeah.
paid $4 million, and yeah, And
yeah, he sucked.
He sucked. That's a solid one. All right, my meat number one. I definitely have more Royals ones than Chiefs.
Yeah.
But I'll go Royals. I'll go Chiefs. It's Matt Castle.
Yeah, it has to be.
Matt Castle contract that we gave him.
$63 million,
I think. He was never good. Like, yeah. I don't know how you could watch tape on him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know he won 10 games with the Patriots. I know he won 10 games with the Chiefs. But if you just watched him, he just did not pass the eye test. Mm-hmm. He was not good. He was never good.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing that Scott Pioli got tricked by Bill Belichick into signing Matt Castle.
I think Pioli and him came the same year, too. That's when we were like,
oh, you're right.
I mean, and so many other franchises have done this and failed in trying to create a Patriot way.
Trying to be the Patriots.
And trying to be the Patriots. When finally they figured out, oh, we don't have Bill Belichick, we'll never be able to do what the Patriots do.
But, yeah, and I know we went to the playoffs 1 year with him, but, man.
It ushered in a very bad era of Chiefs football.
I mean, yeah, we were the worst team in the NFL for – I mean, we had consecutive top five draft picks. And yeah, it was a bad, bad time.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's got some bad gifts that just
– The hat falling
and like,
off
yeah, is that, the best one. And if you look up just like Matt Castle highlights – Or, I mean, you won't find them. You'll find, like, low lights. Mm-hmm. And he would just miss wide open. He was so bad at quarterback.
Yeah. Very, very terrible. All right. I'm going to go with, for my meat number two, I don't know if I hated this signing as much when it happened as I do now, because I just disliked the person so much, but Orlando Scandrick.
Mm-hmm.
The signing that we, I mean, it's not like we paid a lot of money for him, but he was trash.
He was very
terrible
bad.
On that Chiefs defense. And then now he goes on talk shows and acts like he was like this elite player for the Chiefs and that, like just that talks shit on the Chiefs and the defense and all of this. And it's like, dude, you couldn't even get on the field by the end of it. You were so terrible. Mm-hmm. So shut your mouth. Shut your face.
That guy, yeah, I don't know why. Like
First Take has him on.
People are having him on to talk.
Don't know.
About
he's not very fun to like. He's not exciting to listen to.
All right, that's a solid one. My meat number two. This is another easy one. Jose Guillen.
Yes. Yes.
I know. Actually, I know a guy with a Guillen. A Guillen jersey.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
I don't like
softball
him.
Player.
Yeah, he hits it up the middle every time. Like, he is enemy number one of Jordan Kansas City is Jose Guillen. I'm sure he's a great guy, but he hits it up the middle too much, and he wears a Jose Guillen jersey. That's just asking to be your least favorite player.
But he was a hothead. It was a big signing for us. We spent, you know, this was when the Royals had no money, and we were spending money on these Juan Gonzalez's and Jose Guillen's and he would start fights in the locker room, I remember hearing, and just like
yell at fans.
Didn't want to play and hated being in Kansas City. And it was just an awful, awful signing all around.
Dark, dark place there. All right. Let's see if I want to go Royals or Chiefs here. I'm going to go with my side number one. I'm going with Lucas Duda because we did it freaking twice. Like, he had no business ever. We had no need to ever sign him in the first place besides to just be a suck hole in the lineup and take at-bats away.
We had a couple stretches where...
And just take at-bats away from guys I'd rather see.
Hunter Dozier.
Yes, exactly. And then we went ahead and did it again the very next year. And he was, again, another just suck hole in the lineup that we didn't get shit for except just bad at-bats. I mean, the most valuable thing he ever did was... You know, that throw he made for the Mets.
Yeah.
And
made a huge play for the Royals in the 2015 World Series.
Yeah. And we employed him for 2 years after that, which was just so stupid and so dumb. And there's nothing worse than checking the lineup the last 2 years and seeing Lucas Duda in the middle of the order. It just was disgusting.
Yeah. That's a good point. All right. Speaking of guys we signed twice where we definitely shouldn't have. Yunesky Betancourt was without a doubt, like, it was known he was the worst player in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. Like, every stat showed he was, and he would make horrible errors and hilarious blunders, hilarious if you weren't a Royals fan in like 2009 and 2010. And then He left, and then we signed him again in 2012 after he was knowing, like, everyone knew he was one of the worst players.
It was
unbelievable. We were like, what are we're actually re-sign? Like, we're one of the teams who should never sign him again.
Yeah, we should know because he plays for us how terrible how he is.
Horrible he was. So, Uneski Betancourt, I mean, it was kind of fun because it was like early days of Royals Twitter, and he would just get ripped on. But man, it was frustrating.
All right. Meet number two here. Side number two. I think I've done some one gone. Who else did I do?
Lucas Duda.
Lucas Duda, Orlando Scandrick.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go round it out with another Chiefs player then. And I'm going with Peyton Hillis.
Yeah.
Because that guy was a dud. Hey, I think he averaged 3.5 yards per carry, ran for like 300 yards that year.
I don't even know if it was 3.5 yards.
And he was coming off a Madden cover, like a 1,000-yard season maybe the year before or 2 years before. And I mean, people were pumped for Peyton Hillis to get to town and just laid a huge turd and never really did anything.
And it was.
Scored one touchdown.
It was a classic, like. That was when they let voting happen for Madden covers.
Yes.
And it was very like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
It was because I think it came down to Peyton Hillis or Michael Vick on the cover.
Okay.
And it was like, maybe there's a lot of white people voting for Peyton Hillis because he's, you know, a white running back. And
you don't see much.
I think he won the rushing title with like 1,400 yards or something like that with Cleveland. And, yeah, it was that was bad.
Yeah, bad signing.
All right, I wanted to kind of even it out, but most of our bad Chiefs transactions are drafts.
Yeah,
and I felt like
we don't sign
them
to second years.
Yeah, I felt like that was a different.
Yeah,
so I'm going Royals again. This breaks my heart to say, but it's 100% true. Jeff Francoeur, we extended him instead of Melky Cabrera.
Oh yeah.
So if you remember, we had Melky and Frenchie. Both on like 1 year kind of prove it deals or something like that. They both went off. Frenchie had like 44 doubles. Melky had like 45 doubles. Gordon also had 40 doubles.
We were a doubles machine that
outfield
year.
Was.
Yeah.
And then we chose Frenchie. We signed Frenchie to a 4 year extension, let Melky walk. The next season, Frenchie hit 235. Melky hit 360 and an all-star game. And Melky later got busted for steroids the year after.
Yeah, and the years before, too.
But
so.
But
that's why I was
and Frenchie was like
a
clubhouse favorite. But, man, he – that second – and I don't even know if he made it to the second year of his new contract because, he was in the minors and then – you know, he's the world's nicest guy, like a great guy. And, and when he went down to the minors as like a 30-something-year-old, the guys loved him. And remember they played that trick on him? They pretended one of their teammates was blind?
No.
Yeah. Like in the minors, they pretended they had a blind player. And he believed it for like weeks. It was either blind or deaf. And he believed it for like weeks, and it was just the young guys in the minors like screwing with him, and he was just too nice of a guy to, but yeah, that was the wrong move.
Oh man, yeah, a lot of Royals players that we left off the list. It could have just been last year's entire free agent class that we spent $20 million on with the likes of Billy Hamilton, Chris Owings, if you remember him.
Oh God,
Brad Boxberger. Martin Maldonado, Willie Peralta, Jake Diekman, and Lucas Duda.
Okay.
Like we spent $20 million last year of our payroll on just a box of turds.
Pile of trash.
Just an absolute pile of turds.
I mean,
and
obviously.
People ask why I question Dayton Moore.
Yeah.
It's that.
Obviously, you know, people are going to be mad at us for not mentioning this, but Elvis Gerback. We picked him over Rich Gannon.
Yeah.
Similar situation. Rich Gannon, after he left us, went on to win an MVP and set multiple passing records.
Yeah, that was Marty. He wouldn't let anybody lose his job to injury. That's what Marty said. That's why he picked. That's the only reason why he picked Gerbach.
Also, Javier Arenas. He was a draft pick, but I just read he was the draft pick that we traded Tony Gonzalez for.
Oh, wow.
So we traded Tony Gonzalez for Javier Arenas.
Yeah, I had Eric Winston.
Oh yeah,
just because that guy just don't like him.
Yeah,
he was, but he's like kind of an important guy.
And then I had Benito Santiago as well.
That was a bad one.
Yeah, a really.
Jason
bad one.
Kendall was a bad one.
I like Kendall though.
Yeah. I mean, we could do a whole one.
Darrell Revis.
Should we do? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Should we do like draft picks?
We could next do time? Just all Chiefs draft picks.
I mean, Ryan Sims, Glenn Dorsey, Tyson Jackson.
Yeah. So those are our worst signings. I can't wait to see what we missed and what other people come up with. And that will be a really fun one to see. So that's it for us today. Be sure to nominate us. Best local podcast on the pitch. Check
voting
us out.
Voting should be happening pretty soon for that.
I think all of July you can nominate here. And then we'll let you know when it's time to vote. Check us out on stateyourline.com.
Oh, and if you're wondering what the new song is at the end of the episode, it's the Wonder Fuzz.
It's the Wonder Fuzz.
So we played it. It was at we played it at the end of the Wonder Fuzz episode. Mm-hmm. But if you're a new listener,
it's called Had Enough.
Yeah, Had Enough Wonder Fuzz.
They're on Spotify. Check them out.
And that's who plays us out now. So we're open to adding local artists at the end. And so if you know any local artists that we can play their music, we'd love to feature them.
Yeah, we would. All right. So go ahead and send us some suggestions. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at State Your Line. Leave us 5 stars on Apple reviews. We'd appreciate it. And we'll see you around Kansas City.